half an hour and then 20 minutes question and answers. I don't want to take away from the basketball time. No. Especially if this is the last day before the winter, before the holidays. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون صدق الله العظيم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بادروا بالأعمال الصالحة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Dear respected brothers and sisters, children, youth, elders, and respected Imam Sahib, it is an honor for me to be here, alhamdulillah, today to address you brothers. And inshallah ta'ala, together in this time that we have, we will just talk about a little bit about the occurrences. This topic is a very serious topic, and it needs to be discussed, reflected upon, and definitely we need to take some lessons from this topic, and so we can bring it into our life, what we should do, what we shouldn't do, and inshallah ta'ala be able to benefit from the Quran and the Sunnah, the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us with. So I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes this time very beneficial for us. Time is a very big commodity. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi states that time in essence is our life. Our life is made of time. So how we use it or abuse it is what we get out of our life. And our life is very precious to each and every single one of us. I'd like to begin by saying that alhamdulillah, we living in this part of the world need to be very grateful and very thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the amount of safety we have in this country, in this city, in the place that we're living is tremendous. Alhamdulillah, we're able to wake up and not fear buildings collapsing, bombs flying all over the place. We're at ease and we're at comfort. We can watch from our TV screens or internet screens or whatever, or hear on the radio what is going on in the world. The damages, the catastrophic imbalances taking place all over the world. Children screaming, hospitals being destroyed, buildings being destroyed. It's just unimaginable what type of damage is taking place. But alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us. And we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this aman and this safety. And make dua for everyone who is in pain and who is being afflicted. For we're living in a time where there is much strife and much war and much bloodshed for no reason. It comes in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that near the end of times, the person who kills and the one who is killed, neither does the one who is killed know why he was killed, nor the one who is killing know why he is killing. There will be confusion. But my topic today is a little bit different. It is about something that is not in our control, so to say. The topic at hand for tonight's discussion is natural disasters. Things that just happen. And today, in this day and age, hurricanes, typhoons, tsunamis, tornadoes, earthquakes, all of these things are happening at an alarming rate all over the world. And this is something that is coming closer and closer to home. Just the recent one, the earthquake that shook New York and that whole area. Hurricane Sandy, I believe. I was in Hajj, I was away. But I heard that it had an effect here as well. Subhanallah. And we look at statistics, and we look over the last 10 years. It's not reducing, but it's increasing. The amount of hurricanes, the amount of damage in millions of dollars, and at billions of dollars that's being caused. What is the reason? We look at this and we see the damage that is being caused. and the lives that are being taken. And we reflect upon this, that why is this happening? We can go through the science of things, saying that the air and the water and it turns out into a storm, and then when it hits these masses, then this happens, a hurricane happens. Or we can say about the plate tectonics, that in the earth there are plates, and when they move, earthquakes happen, volcanoes happen, tsunamis happen. We can go into the science, and no one denies the science, that these things are reality, these things do happen, these things do take place. But we want to look a little bit and analyze together and reflect into the Quran and Hadith. We know that everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we relate back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the reason? What is the cause? And again, this is something that we all need to think about, and we cannot be heedless or careless about this. Because when these things do happen, it affects. If it doesn't, alhamdulillah, if we are safe from it, another community, another people, they're affected, their homes are affected. We have to understand, what is it? What are we doing? What should we do? How can we protect ourselves? Why do these things happen? And inshaAllah ta'ala, this is the topic of today's discussion. And I'd like to make it brief, I'd like to make it simple, I'd like to make it such that we all can understand, take something back with us, and inshaAllah, better our lives. Natural disasters behind the scenes. Behind the scenes. Sounds like a movie, but it isn't. SubhanAllah, if we look in the Quran al-Kareem, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله سبحانه وتعالى states الحاقة ما الحاقة وما أدراك ما الحاقة كذبت ثمود وعاد بالقارية فأما ثمود فأهلكوا بالطاغية وأما عاد فأهلكوا بريح صرصر عاتية سخرها عليهم سبع ليال وثمانية أيام حسوما فترى القوم فيها صرعى كأنهم أعجاز نخل خاوية فهل ترى لهم من باقية صدق الله العظيم. Dear respected brothers, if we look in the previous times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent many nations, had many nations, Qawmi Aad, Qawmi Thamud, Qawmi Lut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there were many nations that came, and each nation had a prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. To Qawmi Aad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, wa ila Aadin. Rasulullah, what is the ayah? وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent هود عليه الصلاة والسلام to قوم عاد. He sent him. And what did he send him for? He sent him to remind them of their purpose of their life. Remind them that do not associate any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is our Khaliq. He is our Raziq. He is the one who created us. He is the one who sustained us. And he is our master. So you remind the people about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remind them to stay away from fraudulent activities, from sinful things. Remind them to stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to accept the messenger and to accept the message. But when the people completely disobeyed and they rejected, and they became very very arrogant from within, and they started to mock, and they started to ridicule, and then when they started to push away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his punishment. And this happened with the next generation as well, Qawm Salih. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Qawm Thamud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Salih alayhi salatu wasalam when they disobeyed and they rejected and they denied the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a community. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he states in the Quran, the reality, what is the reality? Ah, what will convey unto thee what the reality is? The tribes of Thamud and Ad disbelieved in the judgment to come. As for Thamud, they were destroyed by lightning. And as for Ad, they were destroyed by a fierce roaring wind, which he imposed on them for 7 long nights and 8 long days. That thou mightiest have seen the men lying overthrown as they were like hollow trunks of palm trees. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment came and destroyed complete them all. Finished. And it came in the form of lightning, came in the form of winds, it came in the form of natural disasters that took place and took all of them. We ought to reflect. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he would see a dark cloud or whenever something would happen, whether it was a lunar eclipse or a solar eclipse, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam resorted to the masjid, would make istighfar, would remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would make salah and would remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for forgiveness. So we find from the Quran al-Kareem that such occurrences have been happening from the beginning of time. And there's a relation to the amount of sin a nation does, to the amount of disobedience, to the amount of disobeying and rejecting the one true creator, nourisher, sustainer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And moreover, to reject the Prophet and his message and his signs. I'd like to mention, and there are many Quranic ayahs in regards to this, وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ بَطِرَتْ مَعِيشَتَهَا فَتِلْكَ مَسَاكِنُهُمْ لَمْ تُسْكَمْ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا وَكُنَّا نَحْنُ الْوَارِثِينَ. And how many a community we destroyed that was thankless for its means of livelihood. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues. We know of the Qawm Sabah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions again in the Quran. That there were gardens on the right and gardens on the left, lush green gardens and rivers flowing. And they were living in complete peace and happiness, tranquility, as if they had everything. But again, they forgot the message. They forgot the purpose. And then the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came and swept them up and cleared them. We have to reflect and we have to look into things. I'd like to make a mention of a hadith that is found in Tirmizi. It's a very, very powerful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And when we read this hadith, we learn of many things. And I would like to share this with you, this hadith, and we will elaborate a little bit more on this hadith in the time that I have. When Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala qala, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا فَعَلَتْ أُمَّتِي خَمْسَ عَشْرَةَ خَصْلَةً حَلَّ بِهَا الْبَلَىٰ قِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَمَا هُنَّ قَالَ إِذَا كَانَ الْمَغْنَمُ دُوَلًا وَالْأَمَانَةُ مَغْنَمًا وَالزَّكَاةُ مَغْرَمًا وَأَطَأَ الرَّجُلُ زَوْجَتَهُ وَأَقَّ أُمَّهُ وبر صديقه وجفاء أباه وأكرم الرجل مخافة شره وكان زعيم القوم أرض لهم وارتفعت الأصوات في المساجد وشرب الخمر ولبس الحرير واتخذ القيان واتخذ المعازف ولعن آخر هذه الأمة أولها فليرتقبوا عند ذلك ثلاثا ريحا حمراء وَخَصَفًا وَمَسَخًا وَمَسْخًا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Dear respected brothers and sisters, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, if my ummah bears 15 traits, tribulation will befall it. If my ummah bears 15 traits, what are these traits? Someone asked, what are they, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? He said, when any gain is shared out along amongst the rich, when any gain is shared only amongst the rich, with no benefit to the poor, when a trust becomes a means of making profit, when paying zakat becomes a burden, when man obeys his wife and disobeys his mother, and treats his friend kindly whilst shunning his father, when voices are raised in the masajid, when the leader of a people is the worst of them, when people treat a man with respect because of the fears of some evil he may do, when much wine is drunk and men wear silk, when female singers and musical instruments become popular, when the last of the ummah curse the first ones and let them expect red wind, the earth to swallow them or to be transformed into animals, walayadu billah. This hadith lists many evils, many wrongdoings that we need to look into our lives and we need to look into our areas and communities and see what is happening. And as Muslims, we have an obligation to do يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, to enjoin righteousness and to forbid and to shun wrong. So the first amongst this, when people hold certain, when people do not give other people, the rich get richer and the poor are getting poorer. When the wealthy hold all the capital and they're not sharing it, that creates an imbalance in society, it creates a disturbance. Taxing people more. If you look at the tax system today, the rich are getting richer, the poor are losing out. Another of the things that the Prophet ﷺ said, when people hold certain positions, and with their positions, people are bribed, and their distrust and amana that they have with them, they're taking advantage of this to make profit. This is not something that is good to do, and this is not something that is right. And if we look all over the world, this is taking place. This is something that we need to reminiscent about, and we need to take heed and be concerned about. And this is something that we need to understand, that this is not something that is correct. When tax becomes burdensome, people are charging tremendous amounts of tax, and people, zakat becomes a burden. Zakat is something that we need to give. It is a fard of Islam. It is something that is incumbent upon us. It is a duty of Islam to do. We have to do this. But if we hold back from our zakat, we're doing a major sin. We're not doing a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this in turn has effects. This in turn has effects. When a mother, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam states, when a man obeys his wife and disobeys his mother. This is something interesting to know, that to obey your mother is of course an important duty. It's a command. It is our obligation. It's amongst the compulsory actions to obey one's mother. But in no way does this mean that one should disrespect his or her his wife. One should be not kind to one's wife, or prefer one over the other, fulfill mother's huquq and leave the wife's huquq, or be nice to the wife and not listen to the mother. This is not what it is saying. The hadith is mentioning there has to be equality. The mother is respected, the wife is respected, both. But when one gives preference to his wife over his mother, remember in Islam, the wife has a very important position. خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِيَهْلِي وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِيَهْلِي. The best amongst you is the best to his wives, and I am the best amongst you because I am the best to my wives. The Prophet ﷺ, he laid out the deen, and he laid out the functionalities, the positions, the respect, the duties, the obligations. This is all laid out in Islam, shown to us by the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if one cannot neglect the mother, you have to take both together. One cannot deny that after marriage one denies the obligation, the respect to the mother, or fulfills one's right over the others. This is a short story that I want to make mention, and it's a true story. It's a true story, and it's a very touching story of a person who took his wife and his mother and his child for Umrah. It's a true story that took place. And this is in the light of this hadith and something that we all need to pay attention to. SubhanAllah, he took his wife and his mother and his child for Umrah. And SubhanAllah, they did the rites of going for Umrah, Makkah, Medina. And Alhamdulillah, for those who have gone, know that Alhamdulillah, it's a very blessed place and the rites and Alhamdulillah. And in Medina Munawwara, there's also a lot of shopping area too. After a person does his ibadah, say his salatu salam, people in their free time, they like to buy some things from Medina Munawwara. There's a lot of gold shops as well. This brother, he took his wife and his mother and the child and they went into the gold shop and asked the wife to buy something. So the wife, she did her shopping, she bought a nice necklace, came to the cashier, it was an expensive necklace, it was about $5,000, the heavy gold necklace. And they went to the cashier, and then after that, when he punched it out, it came to $5,300. And the man, he started to say, "What is this? It was only $5,000. He said, the man, the cashier at the store said, "No, but your mother picked up a ring for $300. And the man, the son, he got so upset. He said, "Mother, why do you need to buy this? You're old now. You don't need to wear gold. It's for the $300 ring. Subhanallah, this is gold. It's not for you at this time and whatnot." And he really got upset. And he said, "Please, no, I cannot." And the mother put it back. Mother put it back. The wife, seeing this, got upset. But hold on, we want to know why she got upset. She got upset. She said, "Why did you do this? This is not the correct behavior. How did you scold and do this?" Now we have to see, why is the wife saying this? Out of respect, out of love for them. She tells her husband, "Where can you get someone to take care? Who's going to take care of the kids now? $300 ring, maybe the mother takes care of the kid. Where can you get a babysitter like this?" The mother was holding the child. And she put the child down and she left out the store. So the wife is getting upset. Who's going to take care of the kids now? Subhanallah, this opens our eyes. This is a reality. How much work we take from our mothers. How much they have sacrificed for us. How much have they done for us. And what treatment, what payback are we giving them? Subhanallah, and this is a true story. And then the son realized, "What have I done? It's going to become costly if you're going to get a babysitter now. Someone to take care of the children." He went back to the mother right away. So soon after, and said, "Mother, I have this ring. I'm ready to buy this ring." She said, "I swear, as long as I live, I will never wear gold again in my life." She was upset. She said, "I don't need this gold." Subhanallah. We have to be very careful. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned this amongst the signs of the traits upon which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes displeased. And there are ramifications when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are consequences when at large the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes place, and when at large people start to do actions that don't please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, when one treats his friend kindly whilst one shuns his father. So again, even with the parents, because the parents have a very high position in Islam. And for us children, youngsters who are here, we need to remind ourselves of that. That our mother and our father are very beloved to us and very dear to us and have to be respected. And for those who are older, elder, and we have parents as well. Our parents may be old now, and as subhanAllah, as parents do get old, their body starts to weaken, their bones start to, you know, become soft. And once they were strong, and now they become soft and slow down. It's our responsibility by Allah that we are kind to them. We nurture them, we take care of them. Even a phone call, "How are you, dad? How are you, father? How are you, abba or ammi?" This is something very, very dear to them. Subhanallah. And it's something very, very important. Even though we may be busy with our jobs and we may be busy with our lives, but this is a duty by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that brings down the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the barakat in our life when we are kind to our parents. So the hadith states that one shuns his father and he's only thinking of his friends. Remember, friends are good. It's good to have friends. It's good to associate with friends, play with the friends. You know, subhanAllah, brothers are coming here Friday night. This is amazing. This is really, really amazing. I come from a very big masjid. And subhanAllah, this many brothers sitting down on a Friday night in a halqa, in a dars that is continuous. This is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This doesn't happen in big, big mosques. This doesn't happen because sometimes we take blessings for granted and say, "Oh, it's just there." And in the gym, sitting down and listening to the words of Allah and His Rasul and His message. Subhanallah, this is very commendable. And I may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to be blessed and be able to take the message back into our lives. And this sacrifice will go down a long way And every single sacrifice, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيُّ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not make this go to waste, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward. SubhanAllah. Time is going quick. Okay, so you know, I just want to make a couple more points, you know, mention on this hadith. A very good example. Today we're sitting with our parents, we're sitting with our father, but our whole mind, we're texting our friends. Father's talking to us. We're giving preference to our friends. We're texting our friends. Dad is talking to us. Son, we have no clue what he's saying because we're so engaged in that. Or we're emailing. Or we're talking on the phone. And this is all of our situations. We have to now come back. Come back to what Allah Ta'ala says. Come back to our deen. Come back to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Our parents are respectable people. They have done everything for us. Our father and our mother have done so much that we can't even think about. We need to pay back. We need to be respectful. This is amongst the signs. And now the hadith goes on to say about people raising their voice in masajid, men wearing silk. And these are sins that we need to be careful about. Female singers, musical instruments have become popular. We need to be careful about all of these things. The hadith, the Quranic ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيُضِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Corruption does appear on the land and the sea because of the evil which men's hands have done. بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Whatever people do, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُّصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُو عَن كَثِيرٍ. SubhanAllah. Whatever we do is because of our own doings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, which men's hands have done that he may make them taste the part of which they have done in order that they may return. They may return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Mufassirin state in this ayah that whatever the actions that we do, they have effects. They may have long-term effects and effects across the oceans. What we do may have effects in the air, in the waters, in the lands far beyond us, far above us. So we need to be careful of what we do. SubhanAllah, not only in our actions spiritually, but even physically. The global warming and the way that we are with the earth and the way we are in not littering and being kind to the world itself, it has effects globally. So similarly, our actions, we need to be careful about. We need to watch our actions. اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ. I want to start wrapping up by saying we should never underestimate the actions that we are doing. When we do something and when as a result something happens, some hurricane, some disaster, something of a great nature, we don't just think that, okay, now that's it, Allah is upset and now I have to, this is a punishment. No. We have to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching me something. Allah is reminding me something. Allah is reminding me that I have an obligation to Him and I need to repent and I need to turn back. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing me something that is small, but on the day of Qiyamah will be very big. The hurricane today, the earthquake today is nothing compared to the earthquake and the hurricane and the oceans and the tsunamis that are to take place, that we know from Hadith al-Sahihah, on the day of Qiyamah. On the day before the hour, the signs and those things, that is catastrophic. That is at a level far beyond our comprehension. When the mountains, the Everest, the K2s, and all of these will crumble into pieces in front of people's very eyes. The stars will fall, the sun and the moon will finish, and the oceans will roar and turn red in the hadith. So these things are reminders. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Himself that it's only because of a little bit of what you do, not even everything. Allah ta'ala, if He were to take us account in this world over the actions that we were to do, Allah ta'ala says in the Holy Quran itself, none of you would be on the face of this earth. This is only a little bit. وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. And most of the things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of His mercy forgives and pardons. But what is the main thing here in this ayah that I want to remind all of us about, myself and all of us? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. That we may turn back. We may go back to Allah. We may return back to Allah and say, oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, enable me to live a life of the sunnah, of the Quran. Oh Allah, enable me to live that beautiful life. Indeed, that life is beautiful. For those who have walked down that path, the path of sunnah, the path of Quran, the path of the Salaf al-Saliheen, they have tasted something in their hearts. They have tasted such sweetness that Allah blesses that one does not want to turn back. One does. When we ask a non-Muslim, when you enter into Islam, how does it feel? Many of them all say that we felt when we were in Kufr like we were trapped in a box. We couldn't look here and there. Everything was just, it was dark around us as if there was no light. And when we accepted Islam, we feel so free. And we feel so happy. We feel that we're renewed. We have a new life, ambitions, goals. We have a purpose. And the purpose of you and I, the purpose of all of us here gathered here tonight, is to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be true Muslims. True Muslims to Allah, true Muslims to ourselves, to our families, to our children, to our community. Because when we start to get up and stand up, and when we are true people of Islam and true representatives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people will look at us. The scholars say it will be as if they will envy us, as if on a hot day when someone is eating an ice cream and it's melting and another person is thirsty and looks at that person eating that delicious ice cream melting in his mouth, water will start coming out of that person's mouth. When we practice Islam and when we follow the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it will be like those who don't have it will look at us and they'll be melting. Water will be coming. That I want that. I want that. I had a friend, a Canadian brother, who he accepted Islam at a later age. And I asked him, why did you, what made you accept Islam? And he goes, wallahi, Imran, I was in Ramadan, I was in a masjid, I had no food to eat, there was iftar. I went to that masjid and they gave me some shelter to sleep for some night. He was going through a little bit of difficulty. And it was the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And oh man, I was looking at those Muslims' faces when they were coming out of prayers. And just something was dripping from their face. This nur, of course, in Ramadan, Taraweeh, fasting, we're Iman. He goes, I want that. I don't know what that is, but I want that. And he goes, I accepted Islam. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And I have that in my heart now. Subhanallah. So I want to start to conclude. Time is up. Just another few minutes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a khususi, glad tiding for this ummah, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, I started the speech by the previous nations. They disobeyed the messenger. At a collective level, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obliterated them. Allah finished them. Allah took them to account. But the khususi, the quality special of this ummah, of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even in Makkah, Mukarramah, the Quraysh, they denied Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They ridiculed him and they hurt him. And they rejected him on a collective level. Only a few sahaba, only a few who accepted Islam in the beginning. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not bring the punishment. The barakah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa ma kana Allahu liyu'adhibahum wa anta feehim, wa ma kana Allahu mu'adhibahum wa hum yastaghfirun. O messenger of Allah, so long you are with the people, I will not punish them on a collective level. The wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not come upon them. And upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, till the day of Qiyamah, collectively, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only that, but when we look at the second part of this ayah, وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ, it is said about the kuffar in the tafsir that even though they did not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but when they would go around the Kaaba, they would say, astaghfirullah. They would say, seek repentance from Allah, and even because of them saying it once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Allah will not send out down the punishment because of their istighfar, because of their seeking forgiveness of Allah. So this is a reminder for all of us. We are people of Iman, that we need to turn back to Allah. We need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do istighfar. Seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's repentance. Seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Nuh, seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say astaghfirullah for all of us. We seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our sins. Allah will send down the rains. Allah will send down the rahmah. Allah will send down the mercy upon all of us. This is inshallah, in short, my speech today is a reminder to all of us that we need to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one in whose hands and control is everything in the universe and in the world. And when we turn back to Allah and we ask Allah's forgiveness and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection, then rahmah will come upon us and the peace will come upon us. But if such occurrences happen on any community, then we always thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and cry for ourselves, cry for our Muslim brothers and sisters, and cry for our humanity at large. So when we are praying and we're reading Quran and we're seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, this will shower upon everyone. And if in case anyone is taken by any of these tragic events and they're caught in between, on the day of Qiyamah, one will be risen upon his or her intentions and upon his or her doings. So if we were doing the right actions, we were doing and saying the right things, then on the day of Qiyamah, we will be brought up amongst the righteous, amongst the truthful, amongst the Siddiqeen, and amongst, inshallah, with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. My dear brothers and sisters, we need to remember, as I conclude inshallah ta'ala, that our youth of today, we need to be very careful about, very, very cautious about, and nurture them as to what direction our youth are going to get today. It's very, very important that the youth that are coming here for this basketball and hearing the Quran, hearing the Hadith, this is something that is very, very good and very, very, alhamdulillah, blessed. Alhamdulillah, because they are the future of tomorrow. They are the future of tomorrow. And we ask Allah subhanahu jalla wa ala that He enables us to follow the deen. He enables us to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And if we can leave today just by remembering four things, and we bring this into our life, inshallah ta'ala, we will come, inshallah, closer and closer to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are these four things? Mufti Rafi Usmani, one of the great shuyukh, he says, my teacher, my mentor, Dr. Abdul Hayy Arafi rahimahullah ta'ala, and he taught me this. And he said that this was a gift from my teacher, and I am gifting this to you. So Mufti Rafi Usmani also in his khutbah, he says that, oh people, congregants, I am gifting you these four things as well. And subhanAllah, I happened to read this article and I thought it was something very, very powerful and very, very nice. He says four things that if we bring up in our life, inshallah, we'll come closer to Jannah, closer and easier to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, every day when we wake up, we thank Allah, do shukr of Allah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah ala ni'mat al-Islam. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, walking, sitting, when we have our breakfast. And we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thanking Him by our fajr, our zuhr, asr, maghrib, isha, thanking Him by reading Quran, thanking Him by praying and understanding this deen. And number two, we have patience, sabr. We're patient in adversity, patient on small things. We end up fighting, we end up arguing, we end up having disputes, even if we have a dispute or we have some confrontation. We're patient about it, we've let go. We don't take it to account. We're patient and have sabr. If something is lost of ours, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Any trouble, say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Go towards salah and have patience and perseverance. Inna allaha ma sabreen, Allah will be with us. In our day-to-day life, because this is something that is either we're happy or we're sad. If we're happy, we say alhamdulillah. If we're sad, have patience and know that the ajr is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One time the candle went out in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah said, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said, is this also some type of calamity, ya Rasulullah? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, anything that will hurt or afflict a mu'min, a Muslim, if he says, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, Allah will give him reward. So if a thorn pricks you, or if some anxiety hits you, or something on your mind, and you say, astaghfirullah, alhamdulillah, and you turn to Allah, Allah will reward you. Number three, istighfar. Continuously istighfar. Seeking Allah's repentance is a very powerful tool, because we all commit sins. We all commit sins at different levels. Little, big, major, apparent, hidden, secret, we don't even know. So we think, Allah, forgive me. We talk to Allah. Allah, throughout the course of the day, oh Allah, forgive me. This will keep our hearts moist. This will keep our level and ta'alluq with Allah at a very high level. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness at each and every part of our day and our night and any of the actions that we do. And at the end, we always seek protection from Allah. Ta'awwuz. Ta'awwuz billah. We read our quls, our qul a'udhu bil falaq, qul a'udhu rabbin nas, qul huwallahu ahad. We read the different du'as, masnuna. People say, oh, I'm afflicted by the evil eye, or I have this, some asar, or some jinn, or something is happening, someone has done some witchcraft or something. Whatever it may be, when we turn to Allah, and we ask Allah, and we seek protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any calamity, big or small, Allah will protect us, Allah will safeguard us, Allah will keep us safe. So we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at every level. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me, give you, give all of us a tawfiq to act upon the sunnah, to read the sunnah, to live the sunnah, and to leave this world with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to have benefited from this gathering and forgive any of our shortcomings. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to have a better and a more improved outlook at life, at ourselves, at our hearts, our minds, and our societies and our families at large. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to be the true recipients of the deen of Allah and the true vicegerents of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this earth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to fulfill the commandments and to practice the deen in its entirety. Ameen. Wa akhir da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakumullah khair. 5 minutes, Shaykh. I said 5 minutes for questions and answers. If there's any questions, inshallah ta'ala, we can take up a few, and then inshallah we will let the youngsters continue their basketball game. Yes? Yes.
But still we don't see much of the natural disaster in this area compared to the others. So what, why, I mean, I...
No, that's a very good question. Someone just asked me this for the second part of your question. I said, hold on, please don't say that. We don't want to see it either. He said, this is a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If this is not happening, this is a barakah from Allah. We continue to ask. We don't know whose dua and whose... Of course, there is... The science has its theories that this happens because of this and this happens after that. When we know from the Quran and Hadith that there's a spiritual aspect to many of these things. And again, times it comes in and out again, as we know that no one is perfect. In the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, the Anbiya were masoom. Other than the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, everyone committed actions. Everyone no one is masoom after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So everyone commits actions, and that's why we have the deen, that's why we have the Sharia. The Sharia is there that teaches us between right and wrong, because at every time people will commit good and also wrong. And this is how we rectify ourselves. So these famines and whatever it may be, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remind any nation that we have to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this comes in Allama Alusi rahmatullah alayhi in Ruh al-Ma'ani in a tafsir of the Quran under this ayah, Dhahar al-Fasad fil bahr, barri wal-bahr bima kasabat aydin nas. He states that these things come these things come to the believers. If we look seriously, when it comes to the believers, it comes in the form of a mercy. Because it comes at a form as a reminder that we have to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whatever level we are. If we are still practicing and praying our salah and giving our zakat, yet when something of this sort were to happen or to befall, this will only make the iman of one in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even higher. even greater and even more sincere, as we see all the time. That many things happen, many people who have been living a very different life, but wala'adubillah, some situation happens, a car accident happens, or something happens, they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they change their life completely. So even in the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, or in any time, whatever may befall a mu'min, they do sabr, they do shukr, they remember Allah, and they increase their amal. Not even we read in the different expeditions, in the hadith, in the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and Khayru Qurun, the best of time, that something wasn't happening, some amal wasn't, they weren't being able to achieve something. And this was continuous. They would resort to prayer, they would resort to giving more sadaqah, they would resort to look into their life. We're missing some sunnah. We definitely are missing some sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would act upon that sunnah collectively, and Allah would give them victory. Yes, any other question? Maybe one, we'll take one from the youngsters, inshallah, and then finish up. Yes, brother.
Were the people of Ad giants?
Yes, they were very big people. I'm not sure the definition of giants, but they were big, very, very big people. And of course, this comes from the history. We learn from the history. They were very powerful people, and people who made their homes in the mountains. They would carve them out of the rock. And if you go to different parts of the world, you can see some of these previous nations, their leftovers, the carvings in the mountains and their homes that were there, one can actually see them. And they were very powerful people. But again, all power and all might belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, that person is really powerful who submits himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the hadith says, "Man tawada'a lillah," whoever will be humble, him or herself, in front of Allah, not being arrogant or not being boastful about his or her strength, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise that person, elevate the status of that person, give that person honor and victory through humility. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us, and inshallah enable us to practice upon what was heard, inshallah. Shaykh Salman Dua. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamid Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamid Majid. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Rabbana faghfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir anna sayyiatina wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. Allahumma inna nas'aluka من خير ما سألك منه حبيبك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه حبيبك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاء ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين جزاكم الله خيرا. Thank you very much for inviting me here and sharing this time with me. جزاكم الله خيرا تحسن جزاء. Someone.